a work session on Senate Bill 5623, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, and LFO will lead us through this.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, we're also going to be working 5624 at the same time.
We're going to go ahead and open a work session on 5623 and 5624. We're going to work on both at the same time, that is correct.
You already said that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The recommendations for the OWEB budget are for deal with both budgets, and you'll be amending them later on in the work session. I direct your attention to the LFO memo dated June 27th, 2005, with LFO recommendations for Senate Bill 5623 and 5624 for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. I would note a typo on the front cover page of the fund types. The second line should be lottery funds, not other funds. And the third line should be other funds, not lottery funds.
Just reverse the two. Huh?
Just reverse the two. I did not correct that before work session because I want to make sure that all the work papers are still exactly the same between the House and the Senate, but I just would let you notice that for you. The performance measures for LFO is recommending approval of the legislatively adopted performance measures for 05-07. You'll see a copy of those. This agency was directed last session to do a lot of work on the performance measures. Their performance measures actually were not accepted last session. They worked during the interim to create a set of performance measures that were acceptable, got approval from the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, and then brought those forward during the session, and you heard more about those during the Joint Ways and Means process presentations. I would just note that you see that they're added on the far right column. All of them are added. That's just because they had no legislatively approved budgets coming out of, or approved measures coming out of last
session. Mr. Chair, if I might interrupt.
Is this so?
It was said that they weren't accepted or acceptable. That does not mean they weren't good. I'm just putting in an editorial comment on last sessions. And I just wanted that in the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would note that the only measure that is added that you didn't, that wasn't brought forward by the agency is measure number 12, which deals with number of species being considered for listing as threatened or endangered that were not listed in the last year due to state actions. All the other ones were measures that the agency brought forward. LFO is recommending approval of these, including the two standard customer service measures.
You need a motion for that? If we take this budget as a whole.
You can do, Mr. Chair, I think it's probably best to have a motion on accepting the performance measures.
So moved.
Any objection? Any discussion? Hearing none. So ordered.
Section B, adjustments to the governor's recommended budget. You have in front of you the work session action report, labeled LFO analyst recommended. This is the same version as was adopted by the House earlier this morning. I'd start with the LFO recommendations on page 5 of 13, which begins the changes for the operations program. This is the program in which most of the agency funding outside of the capital, Measure 66 capital lottery funds are housed. Package 070 is a revenue shortfall package that adjusts expenditure limitation to anticipated revenue and other funds. The vast majority of other funds in this agency come from sale of the salmon license plate. So LFO is recommending approval of package 070 without modification. Package 090, analyst adjustments. The governor's recommended budget, this added Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, federal funds limitation for special payments to other agencies, and also made smart buy reductions. LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified to reduce the federal fund limitation for transfers to other agencies as a result of the plan to address concerns expressed by NOAA Fisheries over the governor's proposed use of Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund monies and other state agencies. The total amount being transferred to other agencies now is a little over $8.5 million. So LFO is recommending approval of package 090 as modified. I would also note that there's that there are the smart buy reductions that are unchanged. Package 110 is the grant accountability package. This continues as permanent in the governor's budget, a grant program manager. and also adds a permanent information specialist or information system specialist 5 position for database management using Measure 66 operations lottery funds. Both of those recommend approval of the packages modified to make the positions limited duration, also to fund the ISS 5 position with federal funds from the administrative allowance on the Pacific Coast SAM Recovery Fund grants. And this shift also includes PERS adjustments. Package 111, PCSRF grant accountability. This would add 3 limited duration positions in the governor's budget, an accounting technician 1, an office specialist, it should be 2, it actually says office specialist 1 in the narrative, and then a public relations position. LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified with the denial of establishment of the public information and media visibility position. You'll see the federal funds reduction and the position reductions from denial of that one position. The other 2 positions are recommended for approval. Package 112, program adjustments. This adds funding for payments to Water Resources Department for administrative support services. OWEB contracts with the Water Resources Department for a number of administrative functions. LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified to not change the amount of increase for the contract with Water Resources Department, but to add some limitation for 2 positions that were reclassified during the interim that were not included in the budget. So this would add $12,651 of Measure 66 operations lottery funds to cover those reclassifications. So LFO is recommending approval of package 112 as modified. Package 120, Watershed Council support. This package was denied in the governor's recommended budget. LFO is recommending approval of the package and uses the package for the $1.7 million of Pacific Coastal SAM Recovery funds that are used to supplement the base funding for watershed councils, just to ensure that the support for watershed councils is very clear in the OM budget. So LFO is recommending package 120 as modified.
Just real quick, why did the governor refuse this in his budget?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe that the original request for a different funding mix that was denied, and I think that the money was instead put in the next package, 121. There was always a plan to provide some supplemental funding. It's just where it was used in the budget. Mr. Chairman of the committee, package 121 makes some adjustments for Pacific Coastal SAM Recovery Fund grants. Again, LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified to remove the $1.7 million of federal funds, and that's used instead up in package 120. This package also adds some Measure 66 operations lottery funds to the non-capital grants program. So that essentially all the monies left in this package will be used for non-capital grants program. And so that would be roughly $4,350,000 of both lottery funds and federal funds. I would note it's important to provide some Measure 66 operations funding for the non-capital program because of concerns that some of the Pacific Coastal SAM Recovery funds may not be used or may not be allowed for use in areas where there are not listed salmonids. So LFO is recommending approval of some amount of Measure 66 operation lottery funds for non-capital grants, and that's in package 121.
So, Paul, what is the amount that we're giving to watershed councils for support to look at 435?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually, you'll see that the funding gets adjusted in another package later on. In package 812, the base funding gets adjusted, but the total funding is roughly $3.9 million of total funding. Package 122 is for the independent multidisciplinary science team support. The governor had recommended adding enhancements to funding for the independent multidisciplinary science team operations. Increasing their total funding to a little over $950,000. LFO is recommending approval of the package as modified to reduce the limitation to provide just the amount of limitation for the same level of funding as in 0305 plus an inflation allowance. So that would bring the funding to a little over $600,000 for the biennium. the $342,000 of Measure 66 operations would still be allocated to OWEB. They would just not have limitation to spend the money. There's a budget note that we'll be going over later that details the circumstances in which OWEB could bring forward a request to the Emergency Board for additional limitation in funding for IMST support. So LFO is recommending approval of 122 as modified.
Will this allow them to do the job adequately?
Mr. Chair, this will certainly allow them to continue work on many projects and start work on some others. I'm sure that they would prefer to have the enhanced level of funding. That is a level that they had received in a few biennia ago, not this last biennia, but some previous biennia. We believe it's adequate for them to do some work, certainly enough to get them started so that they can report to the Emergency Board on other projects that they'll be working on.
Excuse me for being so blunt, but this is just kind of pulling their chain in a sense. I mean, they did used to get the higher amount. This requires them to go through an extra hoop.
I think it's also a compromise position between people who feel very differently about this part of the organization. I think it's important we maintain the funding for them, continue to review it, and enhance it if possible in the future.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just might note that the House subcommittee made it plain on the record that the actions the subcommittee was taking were not in any way to try to remove the independent from the independent science. Independent multidisciplinary science team, but it's to ensure that there's adequate information received by the legislature on what they're doing and what they're planning on doing.
And that's what the budget will address. We'll look at that later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Package 123 is LCREP operations. This provides funding for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership, which you had heard about previously. This would restore some funding that was removed in the 03-05 biennium. LFO is recommending approval of this package without recommendation, or without change, I'm sorry. Package 810, LFO analyst adjustments, makes technical adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and attorney general rates, and LFO is recommending approval of this package. Package 802 makes some technical adjustments. First, it provides $3.6 million of carry-forward limitation for PCSRF grants made in 03-05 that will not be completely paid until 05-07. It also continues funding for 9 months for a limited duration Endangered Species Act consultant specialist position that's working currently with NOAA Fisheries. This position has been in existence for a couple of biennia. There are a couple of projects that the position is still working on that won't be completed until roughly 9 months. So LFO is recommending approval of funding to continue the position for 9 months with the understanding that all the funding is provided as one-time limitation. Package 810 establishes a limited duration performance analyst and reporting specialist position, which is a natural resource specialist 2 position, to serve as a dedicated technical staff reporting progress to NIMS on the newly established quarterly reporting requirements. As you have heard previously, the federal agency that grants Pacific Coast SEM recovery funds have instituted many new reporting standards, including performance metrics that they want reported on. This position and this funding will allow the agency to better meet those reporting requirements for NOAA Fisheries. So LFO is recommending approval of this position. Package 811 adds $750,000 of Pacific Coast SEM Recovery Fund monies for special payments to accelerate completion of recovery plans for ESA-listed salmon and steelhead. This money would go to work in cooperation with NOAA Fisheries on completion of these recovery plans. This is, again, approved as a one-time limitation and is part of a plan to deal with concerns expressed by NOAA Fisheries over the governor's proposed use of PCSRF monies.
This was one of the major concerns we had to deal with, wasn't it?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's important to note that this is an enhancement above and beyond what agencies are currently spending on recovery planning. And I would also point out that there's another $750,000 was approved for ODF&W's budget, bringing the total amount provided for accelerating completion of recovery plans to $1.5 million.
Can we ever get the actual written memo from the federal government concerning whether they accepted what we had proposed as changes?
Mr. Chair, I believe that
Tom, could you come up for a moment, miss?
Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tom Beiler, Director at the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Senator Bates, no, we have not completed that loop. It's in progress right now. We've been pulling together the narratives. We've wanted to make sure that we have all the budgets lined out before we send our written narratives explaining how those funds are going to be used before. So we're essentially going to be sending that out shortly because this is the last budget, I think, that we have PCSRF funds implicated in. So we expect to get a written explanation of the use of those funds to NOAA very shortly, and we'll expect to get a written response shortly as well. We've run into no turbulence or pushback from the federal contacts on this issue with the proposals that have been laid out by the legislature.
Tom, I'd love to see that as soon as possible. I think we all would. It's a general agreement, I think, to all parties that the agreement we've reached, at least verbally, is something none of us are going to touch. And these budgets that are being run out are not final budgets, except proper for those sections. So I suppose there's some advantage to waiting for this budget to come out. But the bottom line is, if you're waiting for all the budgets to be approved, that could take some time yet.
Mr.
So
Chair,
I would suggest you get this going from the point of view that these funds are not going to be touched.
Understood, Mr. Chair, and we're ready to roll on this. It's just that we want to have the work sessions take place first. We're not going to wait for sine die to make this happen.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the next package is package 812. 812 is a special budget committee adjustment package that shifts $1.4 million roughly of base support for watershed councils from Measure 66 operations lottery funds to Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery federal funds. It also, you will see that the reduction of lottery funds is $1,636,837, while $1,436,837 of federal funds are being added for a net change of $200,000. This is to ensure that the funding for watershed councils is equal to the funding for soil and water conservation districts, which sustained a reduction in both the governor's recommended budget and both the versions of the Department of Agriculture budget that passed out from both committees. So LFO's recommend approval of package 812.
And I assume that the water council budget reflects this also, then.
Mr. Chair, the soil and water conservation budget does have a reduction in it that was carried forward from what was in the governor's recommended budget. This provides roughly $3.9 million of funding for watershed councils, $800,000 of which is still Measure 66 operations for councils operating in areas where ESA-listed species may not be. And I believe the department will adjust the funding formula appropriately to reflect the new amount of money provided for watershed council support.
Okay. I assume that for Lane.
Mr. Chair, the department has been going through a process to change the way they fund watershed councils to more of a merit-based system. So they have now criteria that go beyond just do you exist and do you get money. So they'll be using this formula, that formula, and the money provided by the legislature to provide grants to watershed councils.
There's no formula, as we could probably use it in other areas of government. Okay.
When you say merit-based, that does not mean that it's kind of a situation where they couldn't all have merit. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, you could set that up a couple different ways. One which would automatically mean some wouldn't get any money because you're in short supply. So what I guess I'm saying is merit-based just kind of holds them all to a standard. They all have to meet that standard to get their funding. I'm looking at the watershed councils in my district and thinking about that.
And I think they're looking for some accountability, too.
Right.
And I think that's a reasonable thing to do. When you're granting the money, you want to make sure it's being used properly.
I have no problem with that. I'm just saying it's a situation where there's a standard to meet before you get the money, not not kind of a competition that excludes some and benefits others.
It's not competitive granting.
Right.
It's accountability.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, moving on to page 11 of 13, capital construction projects. Package 200 is the package that provides funding for the capital construction grant program that the agency operates. You'll see the LFO is recommending approval of this package as modified to add limitation for the new line game revenue so that the total amount of funding available for grants dealing with capital construction or capital type projects will be $41,300,000. I believe that the amount provided in 03-05 was roughly $24 million. So this is a significant enhancement to this program, and the agency will likely be challenged to ensure that this money gets on the ground in this next biennium. And just also to note, the reason why we have two budget bills is because the legislature provides six-year limitation to the agency for this $41,300,000 of funding, because oftentimes, well, most of the time, the projects are not completed just within a two-year cycle, or the grant is not completely reimbursed. So that's why you have two different
and
budget bills.
That's Senate Bill 5624 then.
Exactly, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Our good staff has compared it to 2003-05 at 24. What was it in 2013?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I'd have to look that up. I can't think of that off the top of my
head. Well, I'm shooting in the dark here, but my point is that the deviation from the norm, if there is one, was 03-05, not this time.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I believe this is also a large deviation because of the addition of the line game revenue.
Well,
which
yeah.
is increasing a large amount of money.
I understand that part.
Can we have the director come up here just for a second again? Tommy, why don't you stay up here, if you wouldn't mind.
It's a comfortable chair.
Can you identify yourself, please, and can you answer the question?
Mr. Chair, again, Tom Beiler, Director at the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. I believe just in getting a little bit of information from our fiscal manager before I came up here, that the 0103 was $30 million in capital funds.
And this one essentially adds some of the line game revenue and some others.
Yep.
What I'm saying is last time was the big drop. This isn't as big an increase when you compare it more historically.
Good.
I just wanted to make
good
that.
Point.
Well,
still an increase, but a good point. So massive.
Bluntly, I remember some of the punitive stuff that went on last time. You know, and so what we're doing is getting back in line with our own history. I mean, after all, what were these funds for? They were to do this stuff. I don't think the ballot measure that was passed was to grant us the authority to do everything that we've done over the years with this money. But I'll quit preaching now.
For the moment.
Mr. Chair, that's package 200 again is the limitation for the capital construction grants. Package 201 adds a position into this program unit that deals with the restoration validation monitoring. This would add a permanent position to work on validation of restoration projects funded with Measure 66 capital lottery funds. LFOs recommend approval of the package as modified with PERS adjustments and also to change the funding mix. The governor's recommended budget had this position being funded with capital dollars, and LFOs recommending that be changed to $80,000 of Measure 66 operations and $75,000 roughly of Pacific Coastal Sound Recovery funds. This funding mix will allow the department more flexibility in having the position deal with a variety of validation projects and not be tied to any specific capital project. So LFO's recommend approval of Package 201 as modified. That's the end of the recommendations for the capital construction project. The last program unit is the research and development program unit. There are no policy option packages in this program unit. staff just want to point out that the governor's budget has $500,000 in limitation for monies in this program. This program is funded with interest on Measure 66, capital and operations, and is to be used for research and development projects. The $500,000 is carryover limitation for projects that had begun previously. And also would note that there were some requests for some budget notes directing the agency to consider applications using funding from this source. These budget notes were not included, and one of the reasons for this is that the agency will willingly accept applications from any entities that want to apply for funding for projects from the Research and Development Fund, and it's the legislature's belief, or LFO's belief, certainly, that these entities should just appear before the board and they'll be given due consideration. I just wanted to get that on the record before ending up the recommendations for watershed enhancement.
Thank you. Paul, I had one question that occurred to me. As we've gone through these budgets, when we had limited duration positions of over 5 years, we had, generally speaking, tried to move those to permanent positions. Do we have any of those instances come up in this budget?
Mr. Chair, I believe that the manager position, the grant manager position is, and the governor's budget had originally made it permanent. LFO was recommended limited duration, specifically because of one of the budget notes that you're going to be dealing with is having the department do an internal review of their organizational structure to give the new director an opportunity to look at how the agency operates. And so because that involved mostly looking at management, staff, span of control, we didn't feel it made a lot of sense to recommend a permanent position that may very well change after the review is completed. So.
Yeah, thank you. It's just sort of a general principle of looking at some of these budgets just to stop a turnover. I would accept a motion on the policy packages to accept them in toto at this point.
So moved.
Any objection? Any discussion? Hearing none. So ordered. Should we move on to budget notes?
Mr. Chair, item C, budget notes. There are three budget notes proposed for inclusion in the budget. The first deals, as mentioned previously, with the independent multidisciplinary science team and the $342,000 that was allocated or that will be allocated to OWEB, but they were not given limitation for. And details some of the information that OWEB's to bring forward to the emergency board on behalf of IMST and include such items as the project they're going to be working on, purpose of the project, the statutory authority under which it's undertaken, who requested it, the deliverables, the cost to complete the project, and the dates the project can be completed. Also would note that this report is to be made to the interim House and Senate committees that have jurisdiction over fisheries and water quality issues as well. And so that is the IMST budget note.
What is the total budget?
The total budget that's being approved is 600 and let's see, I can tell you.
It's around 600,000.
Yeah, a little bit over.
Yeah. We're obviously going to accept this budget note and move this budget, but it just strikes me as a strange budget note because this is a group that has $600,000 total budget for 2 years. That's not a whole lot of money. I mean, a task force runs on $200,000 a year just for staffing. If they're undertaking any major work, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of money for this much oversight, but I'll leave that comment there and we'll move on. You have any quick questions?
I just agree with you.
Okay. Is the agency, Tom, do you have any statement about this budget note, any feelings about it? You can express publicly.
you can express publicly. Oh,
Mr. Chair, I understand the budget note, I think that the IMST will start with that $600,000 and have the opportunity to get the full funding of that was offered up in the governor's recommended budget, which would be over $900,000. So there is an opportunity for them to get full funding through the course of the biennium, and OEB will certainly be of assistance in terms of coordinating that with the emergency board during the interim. Beyond that, I've talked with one of the co-chairs at IMST, and I think they're looking at this as an opportunity to better communicate with the legislature, and I think that they don't see any downside to that.
Okay. Thank you. Well,
Mr. Chair, the second budget note is relating to performance measures. This budget note, in essence, deals with the reality of OWEB having to make a lot of reporting on metrics to the federal agency on their use of Pacific Coastal Sand Recovery funds, and the interest to have those measures melded with the legislatively approved performance measures to the extent it makes sense. And they will be working, the budget note directs them to work with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee towards that end. So that will be something we'll be working on during the interim.
And they're they're also going to try to line this up with the federal measures. I was pretty impressed by those federal measures that I did see, and I thought they were pretty appropriate. And I think that something is quite doable. I assume that the agency head feels so.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. She can't see the nod. All right. You want to take us to the next budget note?
The last budget note was also referred to dealing with the organizational structure of OWEB and directs them to conduct an internal study. So it's an internal study only of the agency's executive management, executive service, and management service supervisor spans and controls. Their goals are reducing or streamlining the agency's organizational structure. And their OWEB is to report to the Emergency Board on the findings of the study no later than September of 2006 so that this information can be fed into their 07-09 budget request.
Any questions? I would entertain a motion to accept the budget notes as we have discussed them.
So moved.
Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. How about recommended change to appropriation bills?
Mr. Chair, this has two parts because there are two bills. The first part is to insert the contents of House Bill 5074 into Senate Bill 56223 with the following changes. And I should point out that the OWEB budget bill also serves as the allocation bill for Measure 66 funding. So you'll see allocations to other state agencies in line with the plan and the discussions in the other agencies' budgets. The allocations are from both the Watershed Improvement Operating Fund, WIOP, which is the 35% operations money, that go to OSP, ODF&W, ODA, Oregon Department of Agriculture, and Department of Environmental Quality, as well as OWEB's funding for the biennium. And on page 2, there are some changes for the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund. Some of this money goes to ODF&W, OSP, and ODA as well. And then a change to the federal funds limitation. There are some sections of the original House Bill 5074, which are unchanged and that will be inserted into the new appropriation bill dealing with other funds, and also the limitation for the research and development account that was discussed earlier. So that is those are the LFO recommended changes to Senate Bill 5623.
Thank you, Paul. I would entertain a motion to insert the contents of House Bill 5074 into Senate Bill 5623 as noted by LFO.
So moved.
Objections or discussion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Subsection 2 would insert the contents of House Bill 5074, which is the capital projects budget bill, original one, into Senate Bill 5624 with the following changes, and that is to delete the $34,621,516 and insert $41,300,000. And this, again, is the budget bill that would provide six-year expenditure limitation for use of these funds.
Thank you, Paul. Any discussion? Objections? Hearing none, so ordered. I would now entertain a final motion to move Senate Bill 5623 and Senate Bill 5624, with amendments to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. I'll wait for that motion.
A variation. Go for it. I'm getting tired of saying so moved.
Discussion? Objections? Hearing none. So moved. We've moved one more budget, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. We will close this work session on Senate Bill 5623 and Senate Bill 5624. We will immediately open a public hearing work session on House Bill 2593. I would ask the proponents of this bill to step up and give us a quick dog and pony show.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Dave Barrows with Chemical Waste Management, the owner and operator of the Hazardous Waste Disposal Facility in Arlington, Oregon, the only such public facility available in either the states of Oregon or Washington. With me is Mr. Bob Danko of DEQ, and let me do this as quickly as I can. This legislature, beginning in 1985, began to put a hazardous waste disposal fee onto waste brought to the gate of our facility. Began at $10, went to $20, ended up at $30 in the early 90s. The state of Idaho, in the middle 90s, which also had a $30 per ton hazardous waste disposal fee, decided the way for them to get more business would be to cut the fees on a number of hazardous waste streams. And so they did that in their session. I guess the theory was that Oregon would stay at $30 a ton and we'd get our lunch handed to us. This legislature in 95 also reduced fees, but they, at the request of the department, we had a sunset on those changes, so that every 2 years we would come before the legislature and review them. And we have done that every time. We are always in agreement. We've made some changes. Now we come to you with the suggestion, this is the only thing this bill does, is remove the sunset clause. And so if you look at the bill, it looks like it's bottom of page one, page two is all this black print, and all we're doing is taking the small print language that appears in the statute currently today and making it permanent. I believe Mr. Danko,
we're not going to ask you to read through every line and tell us about
it. I would be glad to explain each of these waste streams to you, Mr. Chairman, but I think in the interest of time, I'll just summarize. I agree with everything that the staff measure analysis says, with one exception Mr. Hughes prepared. The last paragraph talks about it's indeterminable how much waste would be lost at the Arlington facility. If this bill doesn't pass and the sunset kicks in January 2nd of 2006, our facility will close. We will be unable to compete with Boise. I'm not trying to be hysterical here, but we will be unable to compete with Boise. All of Oregon's businesses will then have to truck all their hazardous waste all the way through the state, the Blue Mountains in the winter, et cetera, all the way to Boise. And they will have to pay more because the Idaho legislature will immediately raise their disposal fee rate, because they have no competition for Oregon and Washington waste. Plus the cost of fuel. This facility provides a great asset to the business of this state, to the environment of this state, and it would be a tragic loss if something went awry. And again, we're making no changes in any of the fees. We're only removing the sunset and making these permanent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Danko with the Department of Environmental Quality, and we just want to go on record in support of this bill, 2593.
Thank you. Thank you. Any discussion?
I'm wanting to be educated a little bit. There's an irony to competing for hazardous waste. Somehow, you want it, you can have it. Explain a little more. Would you, Dave?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, I'd be delighted. This is a state-of-the-art, heavily regulated by the department, as it should be, facility where we want people to take their waste rather than dumping it down the sink, or in the case of the Wainema Forest a few years ago, where some hunter went through and found 56 barrels of very bad stuff sitting in the middle of the Wainema because the person didn't want to pay our gate fee or the hazardous waste disposal fee that we collect for the state.
So he left it out there. So he left Mother Nature would take care of it.
Happily, the good news, Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, is they took it off the vehicle, whatever vehicle they used to transport out there, and stacked them. So there was no leakage into the groundwater or anything else. Most of the time, I think Mr. Danko would testify, that if you find this stuff out someplace in the boonies, it's just been kicked off the end of the pickup. So you need a good facility like this to encourage people to bring their waste to a place that is licensed and overseen by the department to handle it properly.
How many Oregon jobs are involved in that facility?
Mr. Chairman, about 50.
Thank you.
It and the Columbia Ridge facility, also owned by the same company, which is the major landfill for this region, also that employs about 50 also. They are the two largest employers in the county, private or public.
So is it important again to Eastern Oregon?
What'd you say?
I think it's probably significantly important to Eastern Oregon, especially that community.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just add, I think County Judge Laura Pryor would say it. Yes.
We don't want her back over here.
That was my point, Mr. Chairman. We had a little hiccup last time when we were just moving the sunset two more years with one member. She started in her car, and the member heard that she was in her car and said, "I'll change my vote." Let her go.
Forward a little.
Fascinating discussion. Someday somebody will fill me in on it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, we will in the spring perhaps we'll have an opportunity to visit a bit more. I'd be glad to go soup to nuts. Today's probably not the day.
This is a woman well worth meeting.
I've heard the name.
And a lovely woman.
Yes.
And been in the presence of her honor. Just one little thing. I mean, I'm totally supportive, but I hope you don't mind me getting educated a little bit. I won't take too much of your time.
All right.
The hazardous waste generated by folks, say, from La Grande East, rather than trucking it all the way here, I would assume it would go to Boise. Is that true or not?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, I would assume that's correct. Our fees tend to be a little bit higher than the Boise fees because of the transportation differential. You're in Portland, you have some bad stuff to get rid of. You can take the Arlington and pay whatever. The same waste stream at Boise might have a slightly higher. Which one are you going, Bob?
Probably lower.
Lower. Yes, lower. I'm sorry. I got backwards.
Yeah.
Slightly lower. Because of the transportation differential. Right. We have to be competitive. I mean, the people that manufacture this stuff in Portland, Intel's, whoever, Tektronix, they're going to make business decisions. And they're going to take it where it makes the most sense for them economically. And the question is, frankly, how much of the highway system do you want this on?
Right. Well, that was my point in asking the question.
Yeah.
I assume the transportation costs from Portland, as an example, to Arlington are less than they are from Portland to Boise.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
That differential should be increasing with the gasoline prices going the way they are.
Of course.
Mr. Chairman, I add one thing to this discussion. Oregon businesses in the past have told us that they, even if the Boise facility might be a little cheaper for them, they prefer to take their waste to this Arlington facility because they have confidence that it's being overseen by us adequately. And, of course, being a generator and disposing of your waste at that facility, you become liable for problems at that facility. So the generator is always interested to know where their waste is going and how it's being overseen. And when it leaves the state, they lose a little confidence that everything's going to be okay.
That's an interesting point.
Because they are legally responsible, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
from the time they generate it forever. The facility can be closed, capped, decommissioned, and they are still responsible.
The generator. Even though he paid to dispose of it?
That is correct, under the law.
So for them, this is a quality job. And
we would like to think they provide that service.
And I'm not in trying... I will, but I'm not trying to insult Idaho too much here. It would seem that if they're a little loosey-goosey over there and people would ship their stuff over there, the liability problem alone might make them want to send it to Arlington.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Shields, that's the point Mr. Danko just alluded to.
Well,
I think you also start with the liability of an accident occurring along the way.
Oh, that too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Fascinating.
Out here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you for coming. Any further discussion?
We had plenty.
I mean, no objections. Yes.
Okay.
I did do that. Well, the public hearing and work session, that bill. I think Paul stepped out for a moment when I did it.
Is it work session or not? What you
said? I'm sure I did because I bumped up the schedule to do it. You heard me do it, right?
That's right.
So, hearing no discussion, no further discussion, and no objection, I would listen for a motion, please.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We will move House Bill 2593 relating to house waste disposal fees to the special committee, special Senate committee on budget with a due pass recommendation. Work session closed. Senate House Bill 2593 will now go to House Bill 2123. I will open a public hearing and a work session on House Bill 2123 relating to water appropriation transfers. Mr. Phil Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Phil Ward with the Water Resources Department. For the record, House Bill 2123 is one of two bills you'll be looking at this afternoon. This bill was developed by the department and introduced by the governor at the department's request. It essentially addresses a complicated issue in Oregon water law. And after 2 years with the agency, I've learned that there are a few uncomplicated issues in Oregon water law. But this one relates to groundwater registrations. You'll recall we talked about adjudications extensively in our budget hearings. This relates, the Oregon Groundwater Code was not adopted until 1955 in this state. And so there are quite a number of claims of groundwater use that have not yet been adjudicated. When you have a claim in surface water, there's a process for being able to modify that claim and do things with it, transfer it from one location to another, et cetera. There's not such a process related to groundwater. And frankly, we're finding a lot of folks who may have had a well that has begun, that the casing is bad, needs to be replaced, and they would like to move it from one spot on the property to another, that are unable to do so under Oregon law. This bill provides a process that mirrors the current process for surface water for doing that. Now, the reason it's...
You can't even move it 20 feet or just to get a new casing?
Mr. Chair, Senator, legally, no. And so this will clarify and create a process where folks can be legally assured that when the adjudication occurs, a small modification of that nature doesn't penalize them. There's a small fiscal impact on the agency, an other fund impact, because this bill institutes a new fee, new service for folks who would choose to avail themselves of this process. And so we're estimating an impact of between $65,000 and $70,000 biennium, and this legislation would establish a half of an FTE to do that and is anticipated in the governor's recommended budget. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I might just point out that the passage of this bill, a limitation on the positions also included in the budgets as passed out by both the Senate Special Committee on Budget and the House Special Committee on Budget.
You have any questions? I've got just a couple real quick. We actually discussed this issue during the regular hearings for your department. I just want to review in my mind some things to make sure I've got this right, because I'm probably going to get some questions later on from either my caucus members or others. My memory is, and correct me please if I'm wrong, but the problem we're trying to deal with here really is that if we just keep plugging wells in all over Oregon, we're going to lower groundwater tables and we're going to be in trouble potentially in certain areas. And this is an attempt to answer that basic question. If someone's wells goes dry and they want to move it 30 or 40 feet in their property, this would not be a major problem. But if you're putting in a whole bunch of new wells in a given area, then we start running into neighbors having trouble with neighbors. And I think this helps deal, it gives you a process for dealing with that. Am I correct?
Senator, it's certainly true that we want to carefully analyze new wells going in. So the implication here is that this is not something new. This is not a new tapping of the resource. This is simply a modification of an existing use. And so, yes, sir, this would not enlarge a water right or claim. It would simply allow a modification in line with the historic use. And it would provide some verification or process so that where that's done, a person wouldn't necessarily lose their water right when the thing's finally adjudicated because they changed what was on the original claim. This doesn't allow people to go out and punch a bunch of new wells. No, sir.
What about, what's the distance the well can be moved?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator, and I think that that varies based on the nature of the water source. So obviously I couldn't claim a priority date of 1903 from a water right claim if I move my well from my place along the river south of Independence to my folks' place up in the West Salem Hills. Totally different water source. So it would have to relate to a consistent water source.
I guess what I'm driving at, Mr. Chair, is that if there, in the scenario you described, I kept visualizing the old farm that I grew up on in Pennsylvania. I remember my father moving our well. I don't know what the regulations were. This was, the first one was in the probably the 50s, and he moved it in the 80s, probably because of casings and other things. But it's still in the same piece of property, and it's the same farm and so on. And what I'm saying is if you have a 10,000-acre ranch, supposedly you could move something from one end several miles down the road. How far can you move it?
Well, I think the important thing, Mr. Chair, Senator, that to remember about this bill that I didn't make clear in my earlier testimony is that this does not automatically codify any action. It just provides a way for you to register that action with the state. Now, ultimately, if you have done something where you really needed to get a new water right, to drill a new well, then you're going to be denied the priority date of the original well. So moving it from one end of a 10,000-acre ranch to another probably would not qualify ultimately when things are adjudicated.
Okay.
This gives you the process to do that.
Yes.
Which you didn't have before.
It gives you a process to register what you've done officially with the state. So there's some documentation that you've done something and attempted to notify the state, so when the final adjudication is complete, there's a record and a registration of what you've done. But it doesn't necessarily approve that final action, just as the claim to have a well doesn't necessarily automatically approve that well in the adjudication. That's the job of the adjudication to do, and as with all things related to water, a complicated process.
Mr. Chair, I'm certainly supportive of the bill. I keep thinking about the fact that we have time-honored time-honored rules, and we have a very litigious process, very carefully done, and none of it really gets to the crux of the problem that we've got more and more people punching more and more holes in the ground, and there's going to be more and more competition for a smaller and smaller resource. I imagine you must think about that every day.
Chair, Senator, we do.
At some point in time, will we have to make some major changes? I mean, I keep thinking we're running out of water. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I know I was born on a planet of 2 billion people, and we've got well over 6 now, and 3% of the world's water supply is fresh water, and it's located in funny places, and a lot of them aren't where we need it to be. I don't know if there's any water resources department or any legislature anywhere in the country or any country anywhere in the world that can figure this out, but it's a problem that's not going to go away. If you had wisdom on the subject, you wouldn't have your job. You'd be playing God or something, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I think the I think the good news is that the department has recognized this issue, and essentially before it grants new water rights, it conducts a water availability analysis that indicates that water has to be available 80% of the time for us to grant that right. And so this is definitely the something that has been factored into the regulatory equation, at this point in time. I think the issue that remains, though, and something that, that frankly, we're attempting to do, we've requested a federal grant recently related to this issue, is we need to do better work planning for the future in terms of water supply, even in this water-rich state, because we are seeing situations arise where water is in short supply, even here in Oregon today.
Are there any huge aquifers that are actually dropping?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, there are indeed. In the Columbia Basin, Umatilla County, we've seen groundwater declines of up to 600 feet since we began measuring the wells in that area. Now, that's a fantastic aquifer, but those are critical declines, and that has been declared a critical groundwater area, an issue that went all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court before that regulatory action was upheld. And there are severe restrictions. In some parts of that basin, people with water rights only get 10 to 20% of their actual permitted duty in that water right. So, yes, we have some significant issues, and that's why, frankly, Senator, I just met with some folks from that neighborhood today. There's a lot of interest in the Columbia River as a source there, and, of course, with the fish issues that are currently prevalent in the Columbia system, that's a very difficult issue as well. So we have significant water issues ahead, and I look at it, Senator, as job security.
In summation, this bill would allow you to certify and record the wells that exist, and there's a backlog of those, and would allow you to, from what I understand, would do some minor modifications if you made a minor modification. And it should give you a database to work from, along with your study of the actual aquifers themselves, so you can better make determinations when somebody wants to put a new well in for whatever purpose. I assume this is one of those tools you need to do that.
Senator, that's correct. This is a tool that will allow us to better manage the resource. Yes, sir.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming you'd like a motion on this.
Certainly would.
And what I wanted to say under discussion was, once Your Holiness gets it through the committee, if you don't mind, I'd love to carry this on the floor.
I'd be glad you could carry the bill.
Okay, it's fascinating to me. I'd like to do some study. Sure. I'd be open to any input you guys give me. I mean, it's a needed bill. What I find fascinating is the context of the bill. And I would move this bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move House Bill 2123 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you, Bill. And the carrier on the floor.
Yep. Got it.
Shall be Senator Shields. The last bill today is 2186, correct? Shouldn't have moved. Open work session and public hearing on House Bill 2186. This repeals the Sun Center Water Resource Department Receipts Authority Program. For a minute, I thought this repealed the Sun Center Water Resources Department, but I guess there probably isn't one. And Mr. Phil Ward is once more with us to discuss the bill.
Thank
Mr. Ward.
You, Mr. Chair. Phil Ward with the department for the record. Mr. Chair, this is, again, an issue that you discussed extensively in your hearings on our budget. And this would permanently remove the sunset on the department's what we call the reimbursement authority or the receipts authority program, where the department uses private contractors to provide service to folks who would like to pay for it,
to expedite the action needed from our agency. It's a program that's worked very effectively. In the last year, there have been about 100 contracts completed where folks actually paid the true cost of the service to secure faster service. And the result, despite some of our concerns that this might result in a disadvantage for folks who were unable to put forward the extra money, this has resulted in a shorter line for the folks who stay in the regular line, as well as given the ability for folks who have a pressing need to get something done quickly to be able to pay the true cost of getting that done and finding that service completed more quickly. So, Mr. Chair, we and Senator, we'd appreciate your support of this legislation.
Discussion.
Well, he did a good job of making it very clear that this is not like slipping $20 to the mayor D. This is a good plan. Good plan.
Thank you for the comment. I initially had some concerns with this. I know it was passed overwhelmingly in the House. The alternative would be to raise the fees to something that reflects the true cost of this. Considering the difficulty in keeping fees up, often looking at fees that are 20 to 30 years old, and what it would probably do is place a heavy burden on some people who want to get something through, then they're just a very small operation. I think it does have some value to have people who have a special need or who are from a larger corporation or business that can afford it to do this, although I still have some vague reservations, but it obviously is functioning well, doing well. It's helping all parties. It's helping us get this done. I assume the work is being done properly and appropriately. The department does oversee that so that we're not asking the person who's paying for the fee to make sure they get what they want out of it by sliding data or information around. So with those reservations, I don't see any reason not to pass this through. You did it as a pilot project. It worked well. You want to make it a regular project, regular process now, so I think I'm comfortable with it. But this gives me a little bit of unease. But it's probably a good answer for a tough question. Any further discussion?
I actually was thinking about how to apologize for the smart remark. And I've actually been in states where they have, as you're driving, an express lane that you have to pay a little toll to get into, but you sure move a lot faster. And that would be a better comparison. You know?
Would you like the Maitre D' thing? anyway, no further discussion. I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion to move House Bill 2186 to the Special Senate Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. No objections. We will go forward with that and make it so ordered. Speaker Frank Shields will carry this to the floor also, and I expect to hear about the Maitre D' one more time. Thank
no,
you.
No, you could make it about the fast lane and the freeway.
I believe we've completed our work this afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for your time and effort. Thank you for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you, some of you, possibly tomorrow, at least three of us. Thank you.